Shalom. Today, the 23rd day of the month of Shavat of the year 5777, corresponding to the 19th of February of the year 2017. And we continue today with our studies of Mishneh Shabbat, Tractate Shabbat, in now beginning chapter 3, which follows on from the theme of chapter 2, which dealt with the candles of Shabbat. Chapter 1 had started off after the opening Mishnah with issues relating to just before the entry of the Shabbat on Friday afternoon, late afternoon, as the sun is coming down to set. The tailor must not go out with his needle, the scribe with his quill, with his feather, and related laws. And the next step before the beginning of the Shabbat commencement is for the woman of the house to light the candles, the subject of chapter 2. Chapter 3 now is dealing with laws that are fundamental to how we feed ourselves with hot food on the Shabbat. There is no mitzvah, no commandment to sit in the freezing cold on the Shabbat and to be eating freezing cold food. The Torah tells us that we may not light fires in our habitations on the Shabbat, but as we saw in the opening chapter of the tractate Shabbat, there are melachot, there are acts of labor that although we may not perform them on the Shabbat, we may set them in motion prior to the Shabbat. And the essential subject of our chapter is, the earlier part of it, is that if you set your cooking process as we shall see the details, how much you have to cook everything before the Shabbat, but as long as you arrange everything on your stove or in your oven within certain parameters, you'll be able to eat the hot food on the Shabbat. Well, in order to approach our chapter, I think in this case, since we are touching on so many practical details that apply in our lives today in the observance of the Shabbat, even though the chapter appears to be talking about the kinds of ovens and stoves that were used thousands of years ago, but what we will be studying in this chapter relates very much to our arrangements in our homes and our kitchens until today. So if we start at the end, how the Torah observant, Shabbat observant household arranged to have hot food on the Shabbat, we will see where all of the discussions in our Mishnah lead to. The ancient Karaites appear to have believed that you were not allowed to light any fire either on or before the Shabbat, and did sit in the cold in the winter eating cold food, and our rabbis specifically instituted that it is a mitzvah to eat hot food on the Shabbat. And the question is, how are you going to keep your food hot? Well, our chapter 3, deals with keeping it hot on an actual stove or an oven. And then chapter 4 goes into how you could use various kinds of insulation to keep the food warm into the Shabbat. And it is well known that it is a mitzvah on the Shabbat to have three meals. The usual Mishnaic and Talmudic assumption is that regular people eat two meals a day on weekdays. They would have the morning meal, which would be eaten in the fourth hour of the day, a full meal, maybe later in the case of the scholars, it could go up to the sixth hour of the day. That would be the main meal of the day. And then there would be the evening meal, which would be consumed at the dusk or just after the dusk while the candles were still burning on a weekday before going into sleep for the night. And now on the Shabbat, we learn that there is the additional meal, the third meal of the Shabbat. But the two main meals of the Shabbat are the Friday night meal and the Shabbat day meal. And It's one thing to keep food warm from just before the sunset until one comes to eat one's meal on Friday night. But how do you keep your food warm until Saturday in the middle of the day? Many people, by the time they come to the third meal of the Shabbat in the late afternoon, do not have much appetite for anything very much, and it's not customary to eat a great spread for the third meal. But certainly for the second meal, the Shabbat day meal, it is a mitzvah to have tasty, warm food. So in the present day kitchen, there are really a number of options given the ways that people cook and keep food warm today. There is the, for example, in our time, the electrical hot plate, which you simply plug into a socket and will maintain the food and the pot are placed on it at a stable temperature, normally not a sufficient temperature to cook them, although that depends on the hot plate. And if it's adjustable, another way to keep your food hot, obviously, would be place it on the stove. And people today are using different kinds of methods of cooking their food with a stove. It could be a gas range, it could be electrical plates or other contemporary methods of cooking the food. And the obvious thing to do if you wanted to keep food over hot from Friday afternoon up to Saturday midday for the Saturday meal, you would expect to put it on the stove to keep a gas burning or an electric plate lit. Well, now in the Torah observant, Shabbat observant home, one of two things will be, and very often both, will be used on the oven, the gas oven or the electrical, the gas stove or the electrical stove upon which pots are placed, that the Jewish household will, for one thing, cover the entire active part of the stove with a sheet of metal. In Yiddish, this is known as the blech, and that means that the actual naked flame or the exposed electrical plate is one layer away from the pots arranged on top of it to be kept warm. And the other thing that is found in Torah observant homes is that where there are buttons or dials through which the heat of the stove is adjusted, these will normally be taped over or disabled before the Shabbat, and they will be taped over or covered over for the whole duration of the Shabbat. Where the operative buttons are actually right on in the front of the stove, in front of where the pots are, sometimes the blech, the metal cover of the surface of the stove, will actually fold over the front of the stove and cover over the buttons and thereby accomplish both objectives simultaneously. So what we have done here is that we have put a step between ourselves and the actual flame or burner surface because we've covered it over. And we've also covered over the very things that we could possibly use to adjust the heat. Now, with an electrical hot plate, this depends upon the model. Some hot plates are adjustable, others are not. Where the hot plate is not adjustable, it is used in Torah observant, Shabbat observant homes, just with the electricity plugged into the socket for the Shabbat, and pots of food are placed upon it, and this way the food is kept hot from the time of the completion of the cooking process on the Friday afternoon until the food is going to be eaten either Friday night or Saturday during the day. So in the case of the electrical hot plate, there's nothing to adjust. And the question of whether you can or cannot adjust the height of the flame is critical to the understanding of what's happening in our chapter of the Mishnah. Because We saw in the opening chapter of Mishnah Shabbat the discussion between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel about those things that you can set into operation before the Shabbat, where the malacha will automatically continue into the Shabbat. The examples that we saw in chapter 1 were mainly things that had to do with labors, like preparing the flax and preparing the dye and the ink, which are, for everybody, notably everyday activities, which we abstain from on the Shabbat. But eating hot food is something quite different. We like hot food every day of the week. And since it is a mitzvah to eat good, wholesome food on the Shabbat and hot food, this is not something that we are separated from. There in the kitchen, by the stove and by the oven, the people are doing something on the Shabbat, attending to serving the food that they would also do on weekdays. And one could very easily, if one opened the pot on the stove, find that the food was not sufficiently cooked yet in time, let's say, for the Friday evening meal. And one might simply try to turn up the gas or increase the level of the heat of the burner. And that will be an infringement of the sanctity of the Shabbat. It is forbidden to kindle a flame. It's forbidden by the same token to increase the size of a gas fire by increasing the amount of fuel you supply to the fire. Likewise, it is considered to be an infringement of burning on the Shabbat to kindle an electric light. That is not the issue that we're going to go into now, but whether it's an electric light or an electric stove burner, to adjust it on the Shabbat is considered an infringement. Likewise, to turn gas down on the Shabbat is forbidden by the same token that taking oil out of the lamp is forbidden, because it causes the flame to go out sooner. And the same with an electric light. It is not allowed to extinguish the light, and the same with an electric appliance. And that is why the ovens in use today in the modern kitchens and the stoves are, for one thing, have the flame covered so as to set us further away from the burning fire. And number two, the actual controls of the oven are covered over, so we cannot access, if we move our hands in the habitual way to get to them, we'll find ourselves blocked by the tape or by the flap of the blech or by some other covering. Well, now, when we come into our actual Mishnah, it will help us to understand something about these ancient ovens which we're going to be looking at. The ancient ovens and stoves were one of, there are two kinds of stoves which are discussed in our Mishnah, and one kind of oven. The two kinds of stoves are for putting pots over the fire. There is a container which in those times would have been earthenware or brick or stone or something of that nature, in which wood would be placed or some other fuel. There will be some way of setting the pot or pots over the fire, and that way they would cook. And two such ovens are mentioned in our text now. The first, with which the two stoves, I should say, I'm sorry for getting this terminology a little confusing. We have the opening case in our Mishnah is the oven is called the Kira. The Kira is a, again, I get it right, the Kira is a stove that has place for two pots. The fuel is underneath it, and we're going to be discussing under what circumstances do the rabbis consider it's permitted to use it on the Shabbat. with what adjustments. So the kira is the first of the stoves. In modern Hebrew, the stoves on which people cook, be they gas or electric, are called kirayim, which is simply a dual form of the word kira. The word kira does refer to, according to our Mishnah, to a stove that has place for two pots, as opposed to the kupach, which the Mishnah will be talking about later on. Later on in the chapter, the Mishnah will talk about a stove of this nature that has room only for one pot. Here is the kupach, the last of the three kinds mentioned. The first, the kira. The second is the tanur. The tanur we've already encountered in chapter 1 when we were talking about lowering the Pesach sacrifice down just prior to the commencement of the Shabbat, lowering it down to be roasted for the Seder night, 15th of Nisan. Now, the tanur is where bread would be baked. That is where the tanur is built up like a cone, cone-shaped in order for the heat to concentrate in the upper regions. The heat is getting highly concentrated. The fuel is down below and is alight, and the bread would be plastered onto the sides of the tanur, or meat for roasting and poultry would be lowered down into the tanur. And these are the three kinds that our Mishnah speaks about. So now to go to the opening words of our chapter. And it's going to speak about different kinds of fuels. There's a fuel that burns very fast and a fuel that's going to take longer to burn. Kiro, this double stove for two pots. The kiro shehisikuho bekash uvigivovo. They fueled it with straw or with stubble gathered in from the field, twigs and straw. Noisnim oleho tavshil. They may put a dish, a pot upon it to cook, not on the Shabbat. That will be strictly forbidden. To put a pot on the fire on the Shabbat will be a prohibition, violating the prohibition of cooking. But they may put it on the kira before the Shabbat, where if it was fueled with the straw and stubble, it can sit there for as long as they want on the Shabbat, as long as the straw and the twigs are still alight, keeping the food hot. Begefes uvo eitzim, if they use the gefes, which is the dregs of the olives, after you press out the oil from the olives, the stones and the flesh are left there with a highly concentrated mass. Eitzim, if you used wood to fuel this kiro, this stove, lo yitain, he may not put a dish on there to keep hot on the Shabbat. Even before the Shabbat, he may not put it on ad sheyigrof, until he rakes the coals, rakes the burning fire, or ad sheyitein es ho efir, or until he will put the efir, the ashes, sprinkle ashes over the burning fire to dampen it down, dampen down the flames and reduce the heat of the kiro. So what we are seeing in our Mishnah are the roots of the two methods we spoke about in the modern kitchen. The modern kitchen, the blech, in the case of our kinds of strong fuels, gas, electricity, and these correspond to these strong fuels of antiquity, the gefet, the waste of the olives, and the eitzim, the wood. The only way he would be allowed to put a pot on such a stove before the Shabbos is ad sheyigrof. Either he is going to rake over the coals. He's going to take a rake, some suitable instrument, and overturn the coals, which will reduce their heat. And that is corresponding to our to our covering over the controls of the stove, the cooker. When we cover over the controls, we're not going to be able to adjust the fire on the Shabbat. Our access will be barred. Or until he puts ashes over the fire. That is the equivalent of, in the modern kitchen, people putting the blech over the flame. By scattering the ashes over the naked fire in the ancient Kiro stove, he's accomplishing the same as people in the modern kitchen do when they cover over the burners with the metal sheet. That is the equivalent of dampening the intensity of the fire. Now, before we go further into the discussion of the practical implications of this Mishnah, let's just complete the Mishnah. Beshamai Omrim Chamin. The house of Shammai say that this whole arrangement can only be done with Chamin if we're talking about putting a pot of boiling water on the kupach to make our tea, or as they did in ancient times, they would use the very intense wine of the grapes as a kind of syrup to which warm water would be added to make the equivalent of our warm sweet drinks today. So according to Beit Shammai, only chamin, that is these water being kept hot for the Shabbat, could be placed before the Shabbat on the kira. Aval lo tavshil. According to Beit Shammai, not a dish. The Beit Shammai offer us no way with the kiro to put food on there before Shabbat, which will continue cooking into the Shabbat. Uvet Hillel omrim chamin v'tavshil. However, Beit Hillel, more leniently, they say you could keep hot on this kiro fire that has been suitably adjusted, either hot water or a cooked dish. Let me emphasize that according to all opinions, if the pot that was placed on the stove before Shabbos contained food that was fully cooked, we have no issue leaving it there without either of the two adjustments mentioned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about the two adjustments of the kiro, of either grifo, of raking the coals out so that the oven, the kiro keeps hot but without the intense coals, or by putting afer, putting ashes over. But these two modifications of a kiro that is burning intense fuel are only required if the food that is being put on there before the Shabbat is not yet cooked sufficiently. However, if the pot was fully cooked, then there's no issue about putting it on a naked burner or a flame, even without adjusting them, because the person will not need to adjust it. He knows the food is fully cooked. Another point is that if the pot contained food that was not at all cooked, we also have no problem the person putting it on the open fire from before the Shabbat to let it cook into the Shabbat, because it's not going to be cooked ready for Friday night anyway. If a person puts a pot with vegetables and meat that are all raw with water and seasonings on the stove before the Shabbat, it won't be ready till the morning. So we are not fearful that the person will even come to adjust the flame on Friday night, because he knows he's not going to eat that on Friday night. So now we continue with the machloket, the division of opinion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, in an issue which is related to is not related anymore to directly to cooking, but only indirectly. Bet Shammai Omrim, the house of Shammai say, after all that they've limited us to putting only hot water on this kira that is being fueled with olive refuse and wood, They say that if you have performed the two modifications, Neitlin, you may take the hot water off there on the Shabbat, Aval lo machazirin, but you cannot return it on the Shabbat. You cannot, if you took the pot off, you can't put it back on again. Uveisilel omrim, besilel say, af machazirin, also they may return the pot on the Shabbat. So here we have a different issue from before. Before we were talking about putting the pot on the stove from before the Shabbat, if you can do it at all, and we saw you could only do it with the suitable adjustments. And now Bet Shammai is telling us that if I took off the pot from the oven on the Shabbat, I can't put it back again. But he'll say, yes, I may. But Bet Hillel, according to our Talmud, hedged this with reservations. Because if you took a hot pot off the stove, and let's say you put it down on the floor or on some surface and leave it for a while and forget about it, and then all of a sudden you remember, oh, we wanted to keep that hot for later on this Shabbat. If it's Friday night, we want to keep it for Saturday morning. Then when you take the now cooled down pot, it's as if you're starting the cooking process all over again. And for that reason, Bet Hillel hold that you may put the pot back, but only if you did not put it down in the meantime. Practical implication would be, if on Friday night you wanted to serve soup from a pot that is on the stove and you want to take the pot nearer to where the plates are to dish the soup into the plates. Ideally, you need two people to do this. One to hold the pot of the soup without putting it down, while the second takes the soup from the pot and puts it into the plates. And then they can put the rest of the soup back on the stove to be kept hot for the rest of the Shabbat. But it is not permitted to put the food back on the stove in the pot after it was put down on some surface.